Right now, it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, with Appraise This. You can find them on the web at TQ. Listen to me, TQ. TreasureQuestAppraisalGroup.com. It's TQAG.com. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. The conductor needs another cup of coffee.
The conductor and the engineer. it's even worse when you're the conductor and the engineer on the train. Is Greg with us?
He should be.
I don't hear him and I don't see him.
He's in the other room.
I can't see him in the other room, but Greg, I think you should disconnect Greg and try to hook up. Let me see if I can bring him in because I've just got you here. That's real strange. Well, anyways, before we do that, we'll start off with some news, and that'll give me a chance to take a look over there and see what's going on.
Okay.
First of all, we talked about, I'm pretty sure we've talked about Al Capone in the past. And we might as well do it. Let me shut this stuff down. Doing all. Anyways, Al Capone had a sale of his belongings, and it brought in more than $3.1 million on Friday night.
Wow!
People like gangsters.
They do. it's one of those things that I think that there's that allure that people have toward the whole gangster time period, the person Al Capone as well. But there's always been just a lot of collectors who will collect any type of things like Billy the Kid or, you know, Al Capone, those really iconic gangster types, or, you know, law, like the people who are chased by the law, I think it goes back to being a bad boy, is that they just like to collect those sorts of things. But I think that it's also just represents, you don't find a whole lot of it. So to sell over $3.1 million, they must have had a number of items that were in the sale, and a number of very high profile items as well, which is pretty incredible. He's trying to get you back in, Greg. Greg just came to the room.
Let him know that, reboot his computer, because it says he's online.
But Greg, reboot your computer.
But when I tried to add him, it said he's unavailable. So maybe he should just reboot the computer, and I'll just take a look over there every few minutes. Well, what's interesting here, this was an online auction. 56 people attended in auction. I think you'll find this interesting. In person, there were 56 people. Online, there were over 1,500 people.
Right. And that is growing exponentially. And I think that a number of auction houses are realizing that you can do this type of hybrid auction, that you have so many people that are that probably also had people on the phone. But then when you open it up to the number of people who are either voyeurs watching or active bidding, to have upwards of 1,500 people, there's no way that you would have 1,500 people in an auction room. I mean, that's, especially now with the travel and all of that, it just makes it so accessible. And I think that also helps drive the bidding of and opens up the bidding pool of the number of people who are interested. It's interesting and fascinating because it is a growing area, and I think that some people may think, oh, maybe this is just a bubble, that it's not going to continue. But I think over the next couple of years, I think we're going to see exponentially the availability and the ease of being able to bid will open up the marketplace. Interesting side note to that is that yesterday I went through auctioneer training for Hindman. They have a digital bid room, basically. They have their own app where you can log in and you can watch the sale, but you could also place bids. And as the auctioneer, it's set up so that there's a back console that the auctioneer watches along with the clerks that are clerking the sale. And it's fascinating how watching this, and then also you have people that are bidding via, you know, that could be via Zoom, or if the auctioneer's in the room, there may be people that are also executing bids on behalf of people that are on different aggregating bidding platforms. So I was going through this, and I'm like, oh my God, where do you look? There's so many, that's this console, you know, if you've never really seen it. But once you get it down to where things are and what to look for, it was really interesting. So the next week, I'll be shadowing some of the auctioneers online. You know, that's the other great thing. I don't have to be in Chicago to watch, or in, we have a, there's an auction that takes place in Atlanta today, and I don't need to be in Atlanta. I could be here watching and shadowing what the auctioneer is doing, so that you can see it in action, see the actual absentee bids, see where the reserve is. And I think more and more auction houses are going to be embracing this type of technology, because the auction aggregator sites are wonderful, but I think they are realizing they do not want to turn over a lot of information like the clients and the client names, because that's their only leverage with the auction house to pay fees, is we're bringing you these people. But once they start buying from you, and if you get their name and address, you could start marketing to them specifically. So I think you're going to see more and more auction houses developing their own apps, developing their own sites, so that they don't have to rely, but they'll probably will rely on those aggregator sites, because it does bring in people. And whether they are high bidders or low bidders, that as long as there's a bidder, that is, they may not be the winning bid, but you need underbidders, because that's what generates, that's what auction's all about.
Greg, good morning. I'm finally here.
There you are. Good. I was checking, and I said, because just recently it showed that it says three or four in on the call, and I said four. We never have four people on this call, but welcome, Greg. Nice to have you on this morning.
Yay.
All right. Now, my next thing I have to talk about, because it comes up on my birthday, October 23rd, and that's an auction. Milestone is having an auction on antique and modern firearms. And it goes all the way back to Civil War items, where they have a Winchester. Listen, most people nowadays that are a Winchester, when I was young, was the rifle you always talked about. But there's a Winchester Henry rifle, one of only 75 Model 61s that's going up. And they also go right through the Civil War, the Second World War, the First World War, and obviously, this will bring in a lot of money, because guns in this country, people are interested in guns, whether they're going to use them for practice, or for killing, or for value.
Well, and not only guns, but also ammunition, because it's hard to get, so they want to stock up. You know, what's interesting, this particular auction house is in Willoughby, Ohio. It's right near where I grew up, in Ohio. And but they, I'm just looking at it, they have a number of really diverse, like from, like you said, World War One, World War Two. They have some British guns. I think that this is an area that has always been collected, and I think it will continue. I mean, it just, what I don't like to see are these semi-automatic, but that's just me. These semi-automatic rifles and guns.
I just whenever I think of guns, I think back to the Christmas Story, when the kid just wanted one of those rifles.
Right.
And I think every kid, I know, when I'm a person that does not like guns. I don't mind people having guns, but I just never liked the idea of guns. I didn't even like the idea of fishing and not letting the fish go. That's just the way that's just the way I was.
Right.
And my family looked at me like I was crazy, because they were all hunters and fishermen. But anyways, that's the story of America. I think we were built, even though we're a peace-loving country, I think we were built on guns. But anyway, now, I'm going to throw this out at you guys once again, because I don't understand this, and I think Greg is in the same category as I am. Christie's is having Dred Scott's NFT debut at Christie's. Yeah, I just don't understand this NFT stuff. I've tried.
When we talked about this last, you know, I have been trying and trying and trying, but something came up today in the overnight news cycle that kind of helped me understand the future of this and how it's going to work. And that is that they discovered this Picasso underneath a nude from 1903 that was overpainted because at the time he was poor and couldn't afford the materials, so he recycled a piece. And it turns out that it's a very important nude from his blue period. And you can actually look at the painting that's over it, and you can see the x-ray of the painting underneath it. So they have taken, there's a company that that does artificial intelligence work, and they have taken that from the x-ray, and they have recreated this as a digital image, artificial intelligence. Now, in the article, they were talking about whether or not they should put it on canvas or whether or not they should leave it digital so that people can access it. So after our conversation last week, I now kind of understand that this is definitely these NFT things, these digital pieces of art are going to be very difficult when the artificial intelligence gets to a point where it's virtually impossible to tell an original from a digital reproduction, and that there's an issue that's going to happen there. But I now understand somewhat more, because in simple terms, they explain what the artificial intelligence, they want to keep it digital. And the first thing that ran across my mind is, well, why do they want to do it digital? Why don't they just do it as like a G-Clay, and yet they can actually have this piece? But the reason is, if they do that, it's still not an original. So who owns it? So at this point in time, the artificial intelligence, the company that they will have the right to keep this digitally, and if they want to sell this, I believe that this Picasso, if they do this, could be the first multi-million-dollar piece of art. That's my prediction. That's going to be sold only in a digital format to somebody, and they're going to own that, and they're going to own the rights for it, and that's how they're going to make their money.
Now, when we talk about this, and this is going to sound, I feel like I'm back in geometry class. I never got geometry. To this day, I still don't get geometry. Right. So when somebody bids and buys one of these, do they print it out, or do they just keep it in a digital format? I mean, that sounds like a stupid question, but...
No, that isn't a stupid question. The thing is that this particular one that you're talking about for this piece, it's called White Male for Sale is the name of the artwork, and it is a 70-second clip, so it's a video clip, of which is making a political statement as well, because the artist is African-American, and he's also, this is a comment on slavery, and just it's his commentary, I guess, on the whole race issues. But this is, it's a 70-second clip, and the auction started October 1st. I'm not sure when it will end or what it ended up selling for. Let me see if I can find that out. But I think it might still be up for bid. But it actually shows a man, a white man, on an auction block. And it, let's see, prices realized. So, yeah, well, it says it closed. So, I mean, it sold for like 30, it only says 32,500, I think is what it sold for. But you can't watch the video anymore because I think it was taken down because the purchaser, the new purchaser, takes that over. So it's a video, it's a 70-second video clip that they have that to enjoy in a digital format, but they cannot promote it or in any way like license it out, because that isn't what they were selling.
No, but
they're just selling that particular thing.
Could they have like a showing at their house or business where they have this, where they invite people to come in and charge them admission, and that's the way they could, or is that, that's the way they can monetize it?
Well, they possibly could. I mean, I don't know how somebody would. It's almost like if you download, you know, the latest James Bond film, and you have some people come over to watch it and you charge them. I mean, how are they going to know? But I think that what we're going to see in the future is just like do you remember, and these were popular, they're still kind of popular, but not as much, the digital frames. So you can put all your digital photos on these frames and they kind of flip through. I think you might see something that might be adapted to these NFTs if they really take off, is that you'll have a device that you can plug this into, and you can play or display your digital artwork. I mean, that isn't beyond
the possibility. Well, there are apps out there right now that you can download. I haven't seen the advertisement for a couple of years, but you can actually download an app from like a museum or someplace that houses these works of art, and you can have a slideshow on your desktop. So I mean, I can see where this is going, but the thing is, if it's digital and you say they took it down, it's got to be somewhere, because once it goes digital, it's out there.
Yep.
And so, I don't know how they're going to maintain the security for this. If you know that if they've taken it down now, you can't see it, but somebody has it. You can save, if somebody saw it before the sale was over, you can save those.
Unless it is otherwise encrypted.
Yeah.
But those are all.
So they're already kind of bootleg.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
If they were, then it would be. You would be seeing this. But interestingly, in the description that Christie's has on their website, is that it shows the wallet address. It says smart contact address. But it does say that this was conceived in 2021 and minted. I guess that's when they call created, but it was minted on the 13th of September, 2021. And then in the tax and a special notice, it says, please note, for tax purposes, including potential sales tax, NFTs may be considered a digital service or digital product, and thus Christie's may be required to collect relevant taxes dependent on local laws. For tax rate information, you may wish to consult an independent tax advisor. Please note that you must make payment for this lot in U.S. dollars. Payment
not in Bitcoin?
Will not be accepted. Yeah, well, I think that it's interesting, that they've wised up. They're like, no, we can't transfer that to cash.
We need to see the green. We need to see the paper.
Speaking about Christie's, they've got an auction coming up that will benefit the New York City AIDS Memorial. Now, I don't see, this is where my ignorance comes in. I don't know who Dana Schultz is or Nicholas Party or anything like that. But this is the 10th anniversary where it marks the memorials of this.
And I haven't heard anything about that. But that's not unusual, because I haven't really even been on the internet other than for doing research for the past 2 weeks.
Well, it's going to be for the New York City AIDS.
What's going on in the world?
It's for the New York City AIDS Memorial, there's 19 artists that are participating in this, and it's going to happen on November 13th.
Oh yeah, well, Sam Gilliam is another one who's participating. He's a notable artist. It's really great that the auction is dedicated to creating a vital and strategic fund that will help ensure the preservation of the memorial's physical space in perpetuity and support the strength for many years to come of ambitious arts, cultural, and educational programs. So, they're doing this in November, And that is, it's the same time that is the big impression, it's the evening sales for, it used to be Impressionist Modern Sales and Contemporary. Now it's 21st Century Evening Sale, Post-War and Contemporary Art. So that's what they're doing, that they will also include. So some of the artists in those sales will go to help support the New York AIDS Memorial, New York City's AIDS Memorial, which is great because that's actually coming up right on World AIDS Day, which is December 1st. AIDS right. Awareness.
Now, speaking about, I want to speak about the future for just a moment here. We have about 2 minutes left here. This is the fifth issue of the DC comic book series, Superman, Son of Kal-El.
Yes.
And Superman is going to come out as bisexual. Now, to me, whoever gets there's got to be some value in the first one of these as that's printed in the future.
Definitely.
Because this really marks a continuation of the change of attitude in America about sexuality. And even though it's a comic book and it's Superman, I would think in the future, if you have one of these first editions of this fifth edition, that's going to be worth a lot of money sometime.
Well, it will, because that becomes a benchmark, and it's Superman's son. So this is Jonathan Kent, the son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane, and he is taking on a male companion, yes, and that's going to be a big deal. But also there are others that have come before him, actually. There was a gay character in a comic book that was out in the, I want to say, mid-90s, and I have a copy of that. I think that eventually down the road, it could definitely, but that is what collectors look for, and we've talked about this a lot, is the first of anything and the last of anything is what collectors are going to want. Now, the other thing you have to factor in is people, collectors have become more and more savvy. So are you going to have more and more people that will say, I'm going to buy two copies of this, save one, don't touch it, and then look through the other and then just, you know, hide that away. Time will tell and we'll see what happens. I mean, I have one, the one that I have, I just actually came across in a file drawer because I was going through looking for old things. And I'm like, oh my God, I still have this comic book. That it was something that when it first came out and I was working at Christie's, we were in the collectibles department, that I could afford. I should have bought like a Picasso ceramic or an Andy Warhol print. No, I bought the, you know, $3 comic book. We'll see what happens.
Well, just imagine if it increases in value by 10 times, it'll be worth
$30. I know. That's great. I can get a coffee at Starbucks.
I think it'll probably, depending on the hype, I think there is a possibility that it could be a valuable at some point in the future, and more than $30. But I think it would have to be the number one issue, the number one, release.
But it's not always the number one issue, Greg. It's always the issue that first appears. Because just like DC.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant? Yeah. Because it's just like in the first appearance of Batman is in DC Comics and it's number whatever it is. Or the first appearance of Spider-Man from, Amazing Fantasy Four is also a different, it's not the number one, it's that has a number. And that's what this is going to have with this Jonathan Kent. And it's a big news, Marshall. We just heard it on CNN before we came on the air. So it's everybody's talking about it.
All right. Well, this turned into a rather wide and varied conversation this morning.
From guns to buy superheroes.
It's America. All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week. Have a great week.
Hey, you too, Marshall.
Bye. Have a good week.
Take care. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.